Hey, you're listening to the Smoked Meat Podcast. I'm your host, Brad Pittman. Smoked Meat's brought to you by Joe's Underground at the corner of 8th and Broad in Augusta, Georgia, in the bottom of the Lamar Building. The first time I walked in, Jeremy and the gang made me feel like family, and they still do every time I walk in. And they'll do the same for you. It's great people. They know how to treat you right. Great food, great drinks, and just great company. Go in, hang out with some old friends, meet some new ones, just have a good time. Tell them I sent you. Remember, I goes to Joe's and so should you. That's Joe's Underground at the corner of 8th and Broad in Augusta, Georgia, in the bottom of the Lamar Building. Also, go see Blake Harrison down at WW Restaurant Equipment in Thompson, Georgia at 1894 Moose Club Road. They have got all your cooking needs, from anything from a spoon all the way up to everything you need to outfit your restaurant from the ground up. Oh man, this is such an awesome place. I can get lost in there. You know, if you hunt, you know, you take your deer to go get processed, you know, and even though you trust your processor, you don't know if you're actually getting your deer back or how much you're supposed to get back or what's in it even. But you can go to Blake and you can buy grinders, slicers, cubers, you name it, and you can process your own and you know exactly what you have. And that's always a wonderful thing. Also has a huge assortment of turkey fryers, big pots, big baskets, everything for Thanksgiving or Christmas for your fried turkey. So go on down and see Blake at 1894 Moose Club Road in Thompson, Georgia, or give him a call, 706-595-9511. Tell him I sent you. And another one of our sponsors is the Four Points Trading Company. That's fourpointstradingco.com. You go there, they have got the greatest soy candles ever. I'm not a big candle guy, but once I found these, I turned into one. Right now down here, I have got the one that smells like leather burning. And I tell you, when you walk into my studio, it smells like you're walking into a sporting goods store. It smells like a brand new baseball glove down here. It's amazing. And they've got so many scents like that. They've got a lot of good holiday scents coming up. They got blue spruce. They got cinnamon. They've got different cookies. You name it, they've got it just to make your house smell so good or your office or wherever. So check them out. That's Four Points Trading Company at fourpointstradingco.com. Put in the promo code SMOKEDMEAT. You'll get 10% off your order. So that's a bargain at twice the price. Oh, man. Today, my guest is Miss Rachel Lauren. Rachel's a singer. She is so awesome. She is going to be part of this upcoming concert, The Mandate for Humanity, on November 24th. And, man, we had such a great time talking. She's a Georgia girl. She doesn't live real far from me. And we just had a ball. So go on ahead and kick back and relax and give it a good listen here on Smoked Meat. Hey, so how the hell are you today, Rachel?
I'm doing all right. Thank you so much for having me.
Oh, thank you for coming on. I've been looking forward to this.
I've been looking forward to this as well because you're a Southerner just like me. So
yep.
I love it.
Yep. And we're not that far apart. We're only about 40, 50 miles at the most. So
yep. Oh, yeah. I can wave.
Yep. Yep. Matter of fact, I have done a show up there where you're at. You know where you know where Delray Diner is?
Yeah, I do. Yes. I do.
You know, they got that room that's an offshoot of the dadgummit, what is the name of the club? The Punchline, duh.
And, the Punchline, yeah.
Yeah, I actually did a show there, and it went really good. I enjoy that place. I love their lamb. Oh, their lamb is amazing.
Oh, their food is ridiculous. They deliver, so I'm always getting late night deliveries from them. Yeah. Always.
Yeah, and don't order cake unless you want cake. That's for sure.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah. They don't hold back. Yeah. Nice American portions.
Oh, yeah. And it was so cool. The first time I went in there, I went in because we were going to do a rehearsal and a table read, just kind of figure out what everybody's doing. And I went in, and the last thing I was expecting was these two little bitty old Greek people to come walking out and start talking to me. And they were the owners, and man, they just, they're so awesome.
Yeah, they're good friends of ours.
They are just amazing. I love that place. I need to go back.
Yeah, it's really good. Great food.
Oh, yeah, most definitely. Well, you know, like I told you before we started the show, I'm that old man that has the playlist on my Napster account that just is the same thing for the last 40 years.
And oh, I'm with you. I'm not old, but I refuse to make changes. It took me so long to even, you know, get a Spotify account. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, and I'm an artist, so there's no excuse. And I was like, I just don't want to do it. It's one more thing for me to do. So yeah. I don't have a TikTok. I'm like, I'm very, very old age.
Yeah.
I'm good with what I've got, you know?
Yeah. Well, since I started doing this show, you know, interviewing people, you know, I had Mickey Burns on, and he had written a book called From mm-hmm. the Projects to Profiles. And mm-hmm. he schooled me on my own show because he told me a bunch of stories, and I said something about, man, I need to get this book and read it. And he told me the nicest story about a guy who was doing an interview, and he called the radio station and said, they welcomed him, said, well, welcome to WKZK or whatever. And he said, oh, thanks for having me. Have you read my book? And the guy said, not yet. So he hung up on him. And he said, you need to respect your guests by doing your research thoroughly.
Wow.
In other words, he scolded me on my own show, and I almost cut that out. And I'm like, nope, I was a jackass, so let's leave this in. And
oh, my gosh.
Yeah, it was the nicest scolding I've ever had. He taught me so much. Because now, before I have somebody on, like if it's a musician, I listen to their music. If it's a actor, I watch some of their stuff if I hadn't seen it. And I've gotten
so much.
Well,
there you go. You're never too old for a lesson, right?
Yeah, I've gotten so much great music that I never would have thought to listen to out of this. So that's the great part of it. Now, as far as TikTok goes.
Yeah, meet new people.
Yeah, with TikTok, my partner and my kids are trying to get me to do a TikTok account. And I had one for about 10 minutes, and I'm like, no, this don't work for me. I got to go.
Me too. I did a couple posts, and I'm seeing what everyone else is doing with their filters and their special effect videos. I'm like, this is just not for me.
Yeah.
I'm a musician. I'm an artist. I don't know how to work this stuff. Yeah, you know, and I'm in my 20s, and, like, I should be able to do it, but
yeah,
I refuse. I tried, and then I failed, so.
Yeah, I'm just not TikTok boy. God bless anybody that is. You know, one of our crews did just a little 3-second video, and it got like 1.5 million hits.
Yeah.
And we were all just looking at him like, really? You did this, and you got this many hits. You know, I've been a comedian for 30 years and have not gotten close to that combined.
Yeah, it's a big platform. Yeah. And it's all about algorithms and things like that. It's interesting. It's luck of the draw type thing with TikTok. It's really interesting how it works. But you know, you can be so unbelievably talented or ridiculously not talented. It doesn't matter. It's whatever, you know, whatever picks up steam. So I never understood it, but you know, it's definitely fun to look at the other videos. It definitely takes a lot of time away from your day, though.
Yeah. Woo. Yeah, my partner will be watching them in the ambulance, and I'll sit there and watch them with him and just be rolling, but I just cannot make myself reinstall it. I just can't.
Yeah, it's all right. You're not missing out on too much.
But now I do have some character videos that I did. They're on YouTube on my channel. It's Brad's Comedy. It's all one word. You got to check out my characters.
Oh, yeah. I got to check that out.
Oh, yeah. One of them, do you like clowns?
I do. My brother doesn't. He's petrified of them.
Okay. Well, this character's liable to swap y'all because his name is Murray, and he's not a normal clown at all. He's not an evil clown. He's just a clown that kind of gave up on the world, and the world gave up on him.
Aww.
He is the worst clown in the world.
Sad clown.
Oh, no. He's not sad, though. His first video, he drank a fifth of bourbon in 10 minutes while doing magic. Yeah, awesome. It wasn't bourbon in the bottle. It was tea, because if I drank like Murray, I would die. Oh, he is amazing. You will love Murray.
That's awesome. Mm-hmm. That's awesome. I got to check that out. What did you say the name was?
Brad's Comedy. It's all one word.
All right.
And it's funny because all my friends, you know, that work in the ER and the hospital and everywhere, they love Murray, but they hate that Murray is me. They're like, we love him, but we just don't see you that way. We can't handle it.
They have to separate the two.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, but I love him because he is such a release to do, because he is everything that I'm pretty much not. And he's so great.
It's funny how that works when you pretend to be someone else. It's a total release and escape. Yeah. I love it.
Yeah. Yeah, and the funny thing is, his voice was, and his name was actually my first clown, because I am a certified clown.
That's, you can be a certified clown? That's hilarious.
Yeah, I went through.
You can have a clown license?
I went through the Georgia Fire Academy. And that's how I used to teach fire safety to kids.
Wow. Yeah. Oh my gosh, you have quite a history.
Oh, I've never turned down a chance to do anything legal and a couple of things sketchy, but
that's awesome. But that's really cool.
Yeah.
You certainly have lived an awesome life so far, then, I would say.
Oh, I've had a ball. Everybody says if they could go back and change one thing, what would they change? I wouldn't change anything. You know, I've never done anything I regret. I've done some things I probably should regret, but I've never done anything that I actually do.
That's awesome.
Because, you know, every little thing that you do is a piece of what you are right now.
That's true. I mean, you know, and regrets, I don't know. I feel like they're a waste of time because at one point that's what you wanted, you know? So it's like, I don't know. I think regretting anything is a waste of energy.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. Now, I'll tell you one thing I do kind of regret a little bit, and it wasn't intentional, but a little bit I do. You know, I talked to Andrew yesterday, and we talked about the big concert coming up, the Mandate for Humanity. And, you know, he's a large anti-bullying person, and I can dig that. I'm all over that one because I hate a bully. But, you know, I have been one myself.
Have you?
Yeah, without realizing it, you know, because, you know, doing comedy, I'm a butthole. I am. I ain't even going to lie.
Yeah, with comedy, you kind of have to sometimes be a bully.
Yeah.
And make fun of everyone, including
with
yourself.
Words, you know, it's really easy because I'm really, really, really quick, and it's really easy for me to do it, and I've had to catch myself a lot here in the last year or two, but I've gotten really good about not doing it.
Well, you know, I know some people are sensitive, but I appreciate a little jest.
Oh, yeah.
I'm not like a lot of people that are get their feelings hurt easy. So
mm-hmm.
Used to be, but not anymore.
Yeah, I've got some friends. We're on a Facebook page together that's a private page, and we'll go back and forth at each other with different pictures and captions, and that's about the extent of it now. I pretty much behave now because I have figured it out. but we get downright evil on that thing. But we're all in the game. So if I hit my buddy with one, he's gonna turn around and hit back with one just as hard. So
I love it.
And Reface, have you seen that app yet?
Yes, I have. I haven't done any of that, though.
Oh, that has been a game changer on our game. Oh, yeah.
Yes. I know. Everyone's posting that stuff. It's so funny.
Mm-hmm. But yeah.
Hilarious. I have not done it yet, though.
Oh, it is so much fun.
It's another one I got to do.
And it's scary how well it works. That's the bad part.
I know.
The more straight on, better your headshot is, and better lit, the better they work. And it is just, it's terrifying to think that that's out there now because, you know, somebody can make a video of me just beating the hell out of somebody and you can't tell it's not me.
No, you really can't. It's true. It looks, some of them look so unbelievably real. It's like, whoa, that's creepy. Yeah, you're right.
Yeah. And the funniest one that I've done, I did it on myself, was Samuel L. Jackson from Pulp Fiction. And it was amazing. Oh, yeah. I
That's
love
hilarious.
It. That's
hilarious.
Yeah, it was great.
I would love to see that one.
Yeah, it turned out good. But no,
that's great.
I tell you, I'm looking forward to this concert on the 24th. How pumped
Yeah,
are you?
You know what? Me too. It wasn't going to be any of these artists that are on it now, but originally it was just Andrew, you know, doing a performance and, you know, talking about the cause. And it kind of just expanded from there because it's such a powerful project. And I got asked to be a part of it. And then from there, it just kind of snowballed. So I'm really honored. And it's a big deal, bullying these days and suicide prevention. And it's, you know, you always think that bullying will end after like the school years, but sometimes it gets worse and it's at any age, you know, in any person. And I'm really thankful to be part of a project that actually helps and provides solutions and, you know, tries to find the way, you know, find the way out for these people that don't believe there is one.
Yeah. Yeah. Because I mean, like I said, I've been on both sides of it. You know, I was never the, give me your lunch money, kid. You know, I was, nobody ever fought with me and all that, but, you know, I had a couple of people who, you know, a lot of intimidation and things like that. And that was bad.
Yeah.
And I've taught both my daughters, you know, if somebody tries that with you, you hit them right on the end of their easy button, right on the end of that nose.
Get it done. The easy button.
Yep.
Wow.
get it done.
Yeah, I've been bullied pretty bad in school growing up in actually Atlanta when I was growing up. And then I moved to New York, hoped it would get better. You know, it really didn't. And I couldn't wait to finish school. And it's crazy because I did well in school, but, you know, I was bullied pretty bad. Got threatened to be beaten up a couple times. You know, mean girls dumping milkshakes in lockers and on my coats and just bad. You know, there's just not nice people out there. And, you know, we're taught so many things in school and we get so many years of education by teachers, whether it's, you know, math, English, science, but we're never taught a class on how to love ourselves and why our lives are important, you know. So it's very important that there are projects and charities like these, because if there weren't, you know, there wouldn't be that much awareness and people wouldn't take it seriously.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, when it was funny, before I hit puberty, I was a little dude. I mean, you could have put me on a keychain. And to top it off, I wore black horn rim glasses. I mean, straight on Gilbert from Revenge of the Nerds glasses. And I was a geek. I mean, there's no way about it. And I'm still a geek, but I don't care. I embrace it now. But that's when a lot of it got me, because I was the little guy. And all of a sudden puberty hit and boom, I was 250 pounds in high school, 6 foot tall.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. Talk about growing up.
Yeah. It pretty much stopped around then.
Yeah. But, that's a massive change. My gosh. Yeah. I can't imagine your mood swings, your poor parents.
You should see now, because 5 years ago, I actually had two strokes. And
Say again?
Yeah, I had two strokes 5 years ago.
Did you? Oh, my God. Yeah,
I was actually on. I didn't know I had the first one, but I was actually on the ambulance when I had the second one, and I knew that one.
That's so scary. Oh, my gosh. I'm so sorry.
Yeah, I was actually, I transported a patient from Thompson to Augusta, where I was at the time. Mm-hmm. And, we finished the call, and I was standing out at the ambulance bay talking to some other crews, and I was just being a dick. I mean, big time, and not in a fun way. I was just rude and nasty to them.
And
we got in the truck and was heading back to our station and got on I-20. And I said, I'm going to check my blood sugar. Something's not right. And it was low. So I got a tube of Insta-glucose, which is like a sugar gel. I took it. Mm-hmm. And it went up some. I'm like, okay, I'm good. And I felt it start dropping again, so we pulled off on another exit, and I checked it again. It had dropped lower, so I went into a convenience store, and I basically ate the store. I got like four candy bars, honey buns, you name it, because, you know, you want the sugar, but you also want carbs to convert to sugar.
Right.
And I came out, and I was doing that, and I called my wife. Well, I started stuttering, and I called my wife. I said, something's not right. And she said, give me Rocky. So I put my partner on the phone, and he said, oh, we're in the driveway. And I didn't realize we were actually in the driveway of Doctor's Hospital. And he took me over there, and he wouldn't let me get out of the truck. He went and got a wheelchair and brought me in like that. I'm like, great, whatever, man. Got in the room, and I heard the words code stroke.
And I'm like, scary.
Yeah, I said, I'm going to be in here for a while because they're going to be handling that guy for a while. And all of a sudden, the room just filled. I'm like, oh, shit, that was me.
That is so scary. But, wow, I'm so sorry you went through that. I mean,
it was a booger. It kept me off the ambulance for 4 years.
God, that's, you know, I mean, that's one of my biggest fears, is having something go wrong and with your body and not knowing what the hell is going on, you know?
Yeah.
That is so scary. If that were me, I don't know. Yeah, I don't know. My blood pressure would race through the roof from just fear, fear alone and stress of what is going on with my body right now. I don't know.
It was rough because I had effects from the stroke. Luckily, it didn't get me physically. It scrambled my eggs really well, but it didn't get me physically. I could still move and do what I do. But I had holes in my memory. I stuttered. I had days where I did nothing but cry. And you want to talk mood swings because of the stroke and 20-some-odd years of PTSD. I do not know how my wife and kids stayed with me, because, I mean, I've never had a horrible temper. I've had that 0 to 100 temper, but it takes a lot to get it there.
Yeah.
And I would just all of a sudden just, you know, if the kids didn't wash the dishes right or if something wasn't done right, I would just like throw a plate across the room, not at anybody because I still had that. But I mean, I just like break a plate. I don't give a shit. Y'all fix this and just walk away. Just out of the blue. Just right. Yelling like
and
a grown man.
It's sad. It's not your fault. You know, you can't help it.
Yeah. So those are mood swings. Definitely. Yeah. But they stuck with me. And, man, I love them so much. And,
oh, wow. Well, I'm glad you're still with us and I'm glad you're all right, you know?
Yeah. You know, and the story, you know, I tell it to people to show them the power of music. Because have you ever heard of a guitarist named Monty Montgomery?
Yes.
He did a version of Romeo and Juliet years ago. And I was out in my cook shack one day while I still had the stutter really bad. I tried everything. I tried singing. It didn't work.
Mm-hmm.
And I was listening to metal and I was cleaning my guns because that was good therapy for me. I had metal just blasting out there. My wife was walking out on our land. And I said, I want to hear this. So I put it on. And before I knew it, I was singing it perfectly note for note.
Wow.
And I did it again, and I started waving frantically at my wife. She came running because she thought something was wrong.
Mm-hmm.
And I got to give her the first clear I love you I'd given her in 4 months. And that was so amazing. And, you know, that's why I love music, because music heals.
It's true. I think it's the most powerful art form there is. You know, every single person in this world listens to music. You know, obviously we all have different tastes and genre, but mm-hmm. I think it's the one thing we all have in common as people, and the, you know, the one thing that unites us and the one thing that heals the best and helps your mind escape. You know, and that's why I'm a part of this project as well. It's like, what better way to, you know, reach people than with music, because that's what everyone can relate to. So I totally agree. I think it's the most therapeutic art form there is. When my dad passed away last year, I really didn't know what to do with myself. And, you know, I thought it basically felt like the end of the world, because in a sense it really was. It was the end of my world. You know, it was the end of an era. I lost my first love, you know, my best friend, and I didn't know what to do. So after 3 weeks, I ran away to Vegas and basically, you know, bunkered down with my producers and my co-writer. And I'm like, we gotta do something. You know, I need help. I need therapy. I want to sing about this. And it actually really did help. And I think it's just very powerful. It's a very powerful tool to help yourself and to reach others.
Yeah. Yeah, because, you know, it's funny. I can't tell you what I was doing in 1984. But you can play a song from 1984, and I'll tell you exactly yeah. what I was doing when I heard that song.
Yeah, I can that's true. It. Yeah.
You know, and that's so amazing to me that's the way that goes.
Yeah, that's true. It evokes so much, so much emotion, so much passion, energy, memories, certain feelings. Yeah, you're right. There's a song for every emotion you're feeling. You know, there's always something to play that will make you feel better. And I mean, that's part of why I'm a singer. You know, getting those messages from time to time, whether it's on Twitter or Facebook or Instagram, when people are telling me I saved their life, you know, that's mm-hmm. what makes it worth it to me. And when I released Crazy House, it helped a lot of, you know, younger kids, because they're just finding who they are. You know, they're finding out who they are for themselves, and they don't know, you know, they want to try and fit in, and, you know, maybe they're being bullied and they're a bit lost. So it's very rewarding for me to help in any way that I can with music, because, you know, what else do I want out of life than to inspire others, you know?
Yeah. And, you know, it's funny, after that thing happened with Monty's song, I sent him a Facebook message like a fanboy, you know, and I told him the story, and I said, you made a difference, and I wanted you to know that. Sometimes people need to hear it.
Aww.
And about a month later, I'm laying in the bed, still can't work, and I'm depressed, you know, because I owe everybody in the world money now, and it sucks. And my phone rings, and it says Texas. I'm like, who in the hell do I owe in Texas? Great. So I pick it up. Hey, is this Brad? Yeah, who is this? Well, this is Monty Montgomery. What?
Mm-hmm.
And he said, yeah, man, I got your story that you sent me. He said, I was going to send you a message, but I just had to hear the voice. And we talked for about 30 minutes, and that was just so amazing to have that.
That is so kind of him. That is so sweet. And it's good to see artists be like that, because there are many that lose sight of what it really is to be an artist, and they start, you know, being self-centered and forget, you know, that the whole reason that they're famous is because of their fans and because of the inspiration from their fans. And I mean, it's good to see grounded people like that still exist, because you know, you don't hear those stories all the time. So that's beautiful that he did that.
Yeah, it's I love artists that, like I say, that do that, because, you know, without your fans, you're nothing.
You're
like,
nothing.
You can sing all you want. If nobody's listening, it doesn't matter.
Mm-hmm.
And I hate it when somebody gets, you know, what I always say, too big for their britches.
Because, oh, yeah. I know that saying. And I agree. Like, anytime someone comments on a photo of mine on my Instagram, I always reply, because I feel like if they take the time out of their day to say something nice, you know, you can thank them. And it's not that hard to do. It doesn't take up that much time. And, you know, I get 100 comments on things, and it's, you know, it's worth it to me, because it means something to that person, and they take the time to make you important.
Yeah.
So you can never lose sight of why you're doing it in the first place. You know, can't lose yourself.
Yeah, exactly. And I do have a funny story about, you know, we was talking about music, brings back feelings and everything. You know, where we're at, Smokey and the Bandit was filmed in this area.
Really?
Yes. It was filmed within a 30-mile radius of Jonesboro.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
That makes sense, though.
I was coming home from work
rural
one morning,
Georgia.
driving a Mitsubishi Outlander, of all things. And it was the weekend of the 40th anniversary. They were going to have a big festival in Jonesboro. So I was getting off work that morning. And instead of coming home my normal way, I'm going up 1941 past the racetrack, because they had a thing called the Bandit Run and the Snowman Run, where like Trans Ams and the trucks that were painted like snowmans were coming from all over the country. We're going to meet there and then go into Jonesboro. So I said, well, I'm going to go past there and see if I can see anything without turning in. And of course I couldn't, but as I was coming up to the racetrack, just because I am a fan, I had Eastbound and Down, I just started it. And a deputy did a U-turn behind me and turned on his lights. And I'm sitting here thinking, I'm on the road they got chased on with Eastbound and Down on, and a deputy just whipped around behind me with his lights on. For that split second, I was wondering if that Mitsubishi could do it. And then the deputy went around me. I'm like, well, I'll never know.
Oh, God.
But that,
you know,
feeling,
that heart
was
in
so
throat
great
moment, I know it. Where it's like, it's not after me, right?
That was so awesome, because I thought, man, I ought to outrun this cat, but I'm in a Mitsubishi. It's not going to happen.
That's not going to happen.
That was so funny. I almost had to pull over. I was laughing so hard for just having that thought even.
Oh, my goodness. That's so funny. Wow. Well, I'm glad you didn't get pulled over.
Yeah, me and you.
Lucky
both.
Day for you.
Me and you. It's funny, on the ambulance, I can fly, but in my normal car, I do not break the speed limit in that thing. I'm the most careful driver in the world.
You're smart. I mean, you're smart.
Yeah, the bad part is, about 3 weeks ago, I was driving that same Mitsubishi, which is my daughter's now, home from work about 2 a.m, because I had gotten hurt at work. So I came home and hit a deer about a mile from my house.
Say again?
Yeah, I hit a deer about a mile from my house in that car. Yeah. Yep.
No, it's poor deer.
It's in the shop now.
Oh, no. Oh my God. I don't have my license just yet. And I'm like literally terrified of roadkill. I'm very afraid of killing something. I just still haven't gotten a license, because I'm literally afraid of everything and everyone else. I'm not afraid of myself. I know I'm safe, but I'm very, very scared of killing something or getting in a car accident. I'm so worried about taking that step.
Well, here is my advice to you, and take this from a dad and B, a 30-year paramedic. If you see you are going to hit an animal. Now, before I say this, I love animals. The name of this show is Smoked Meat, but I love animals. Do not swerve.
Do not swerve.
No.
Yeah.
If you're going to hit it, you're going to hit it. Squirrel, deer, whatever. Because yeah. you will hurt yourself 100 times worse swerving to miss a squirrel than you would if you just ran over a squirrel.
Yeah. What about braking, though? Like heavy braking?
Just slow down. Don't heavy brake.
Yeah. All right. Well.
Yep. Because you will hurt yourself. I guarantee it. The paramedics will see you naked. Yep.
Oh, shit. That's yep. funny.
Always remember that. We will see you naked.
That's a reason enough, right?
There you go.
Oh, my gosh. There All you right, go. Well, good to know. Good to know. I mean, I'm hopefully when I get my license, the roadkill gods will be on my side and I won't hit anything ever, but yep. I will keep that in mind.
Only the second one I've ever hit, and the other one was in a fire truck, so.
Oh.
Yep.
Wow, that's wow. Oof.
Yeah.
That must have not been pretty. Gosh.
It was nasty. It did not there was not anything left to pick up. It was bad.
That's heartbreaking. Ugh. Yep. Poor things. Yeah, yep. they just don't get it though.
No. And you love animals and you know you're talking to an avid hunter. Oh yes.
You're a hunter?
I am.
Wow. But see, I could never kill an animal myself. However, mm-hmm. I don't hate, you know, people who hunt. I don't see things wrong with it. If you know, it's like it's been around since the very beginning of time. So it's like I eat meat. I'm not one of those, you know. But yeah. I love animals. I've got pets. I'm a big animal lover. But I understand the reason for hunting. And I get it.
Well, you know, when I do hunt, I'm not a trophy hunter. I've never killed anything with a huge rack. I don't look for that because I've not found a recipe for antlers yet.
Yeah.
When I do kill a deer, I use every conceivable piece of that deer. That's exactly, that's why this thing's called smoked meat.
And that's what's important.
Because when I had the strokes and I was at home, a friend of mine loves to hunt, but he doesn't like wild game, so he donates it. And he would kill a hog or a deer and call me and my other friend and say, y'all come get it. So basically I had free meat, and which was a great thing because I wasn't working. My wife was the only paycheck coming in.
Right.
And, I got tired of doing the same thing with them every time. So I learned how to make all the different sausages. I make brats, andouille, pepperoni, all that stuff. I make a deer pastrami. Wow. It is amazing.
That's awesome.
And that helps.
I'm a bit jealous. Helps. I wish I could cook like that.
Oh, it's it. Oh, I love cooking, but,
I can try, but you know, doesn't go as planned, but I do try.
Oh, that centers me. That always brings me home.
Well, that's good. That's good. I like a guy who can cook.
Yeah, most definitely. And it doesn't hurt that my best friend, and he's one of the sponsors on the show, owns a restaurant equipment store. So.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, that's convenient.
It is. It is. And great guy. Great guy. I've known him for 40 years. Yep. But
nice.
I love cooking, and I was going to tell you something before I mentioned the hunting, and I can't remember what it was. But oh, well, it'll be all right. But I tell you,
he'll remember.
Yeah, I'll remember one of these days. But I tell you, I've had a ball on here. I want you to let everybody know where they can find you on social media and where they can find your music at.
Oh, well, thank you so much for having me. It was so, so fun. It's nice to speak with a, you know, a Southerner like me, mm-hmm. bring me back to my roots. And yeah, you can find me anywhere. I have a website, rachellorinmusic.com, and that's RachelLorin. My Instagram is rachellorinmusic. My Twitter is rlorinofficial, and I'm on Facebook as well. Same name. So yeah, check everything out. I hope you watch the show. It's gonna be great. I'm really looking forward to it. I think it's gonna be 6 hours of just full on, you know, amazing interviews, amazing performances. I think people are gonna really enjoy it. So yeah. I hope you tune in and you let us know what you think.
Definitely, most definitely. I'm gonna see every second of that show. You know, I had planned to go to New York when it was gonna be an actual show.
Yeah, I know. Because I live there part-time, too. I would have loved that, but
yep.
I'm doing it from my home here in Atlanta, so I'm looking forward to it either way. So let us know what you think. And thanks so much for talking to me and to Andrew. We appreciate it.
Definitely.